And Chutz Tzadik Dalet, last week we did Sif Aleph, and this week I hope to do Sif Beis through Yud Dalet. More, almost, perhaps. The whole Nidain of these Seifim, you have to understand, is one Nidain. There'll be things that will sidetrack too, but the Nidain in Halach Lamaisa is one Shailah. And that is, when a woman sees Dam, she keeps a Shiva Nikiyim. When a woman gives birth, well, if the Vlad is a Zachar, there's no Chumrah Bizman Azeh, because since she needs Shiva Nikiyim anyway, so if she gives birth, she needs 7 days for a Zachar, she always needs 7 days. So there's no difference. In the time of Chazal, there was a difference. Because if a woman was already a Nida and gave birth in the sixth day of Nida, so it's Nida, she could go to the mikveh tomorrow. And al Tzacha, she needs seven days. But today, where we need Shiva Nikiyim anyway, so there's no difference. If someone gives birth to a male child, no difference if it's Nida or Yoledes. Either way, you have seven days. Actually, for Nida, you need seven additional days, besides the day of the birth, because you need seven clean days. Now, normally it takes a lot longer than 7 days. Lamaisa it does, because today we're machne Shiva Nikiyim Bizmane. However, there's a theoretical nafkamina Bizman Hazeh if she gives birth to a Nikeva. Why? Because if she gives birth to a Nikeva, Alstine need Bizman Hazeh, she needs just Shiva Nikiyim. In theory, she could go to the mikveh after 8 days when she gives birth. Or 9, or 10, or 11, or 12, or 13. If it's in a keva, she needs 14 days. So the rest of this simin deals with the question of what constitutes a leida. What type of miscarriage? Well, we'll talk about cesarean births. What type of birth constitutes a leida? Now, you all understand that this is not Nagei al halacha today, because the women today who give birth typically bleed for at least a week, usually much longer than that. So they're going to bleed for a week, and each of the kiyim, there's no nafkamina. When a woman gives birth, she's going to need 14 days anyway. What's the difference if it's atzioledes or altsnida? Nevertheless, there are cases where women are mapil, where they have early miscarriages, and there, it would be a nafkamina. She could go to the mikveh in 12 days. And there, the shaila, at least in theory, comes up l'maisa, although, you know, as a rav, it rarely comes up. And nevertheless, let's learn what it says in Shulchan. Yeah, so we're going to learn what to do if you don't know if it's a boy or a girl. All the sfeikis, what constitutes a leida, what doesn't, we're going to learn today. So at the outset, the main theme of the simin is not Sola Maisa, although, especially in Sif Beis, Derech Agav, we will learn on the kudais that are very, very halacha lemaisa. Before we begin, in the Nishmas Avraham, Dr. Abraham brings from Shlomo Zalman Auerbach a very interesting psak. He talks about a tubular pregnancy. A tubular pregnancy occurs when the fertilized egg in the woman ovulates sometime during her monthly cycle. When she ovulates, the ovaries give off one or two ovum, give off a small amount of eggs, and the man's sperm impregnates the egg. The ovaries are connected to the rechem, to the uterus. The uterus is the rechem, the cheder, Chazal called it. That's the womb. The ovaries, one on each side of the woman, are connected with tubes to the uterus. Those tubes are known as fallopian tubes, named after Fallopius, who discovered them. Rabelsky is fond of saying that the Rambam described the fallopian tubes before Fallopius was born. So, be that as it may, pregnancy takes place when the sperm hits the ovum, which is often up in the tubes, right? The ovum are released by the ovaries, and they're floating down the tubes. the female part, in no rush, they take their time. And sometimes are a little delayed. And sometimes, most time, the ovum becomes impregnated in the tubes. Now, in a normal pregnancy, the fertilized egg floats down to the uterus, and as it multiplies from one cell to two cells to four cells to eight cells, it attaches itself to the walls of the uterus and eventually develops into a regular child. In rare instances, the egg attaches itself to the fallopian tubes. It's a regular egg. It's a regular egg that's fertilized by a sperm. It attaches itself to the tubes and grows attached to the tubes. Now, obviously, this child can never develop fully. What the mother experiences eventually is severe pain because the fertilized egg grows. And what?
Ectopic.
And ectopic pregnancy and causes pain in the tubes, and the tubes can rupture if it's not taken care of, and it's removed, and obviously it'll never become a child. No, they can't move it down. Today, once they detach it, they can, nothing can do with it. As far as I
know,
there's a procedure where they can remove it and keep it going. So then I'm corrected. They can remove it. Oh, they always remove it. Yeah. So, Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that does not have a din of a leida. There's no din leida to that, and there's no din of yudalad yoim for a tubule pregnancy because it's not a pregnancy that can result in a vlad. This despite the fact that the woman hormonally, her body changes. She stops having a period because the body experiences a pregnancy. But nevertheless, it doesn't have a din of a leida. So that, he writes here, is Agdoma to Siv Beis. Let's learn Siv Beis. She's a regular nida. The bleeding causes regular death. We have this Kabbalah that a fertilized egg up to 40 days does not have a halacha of a vlad, does not have the halacha of a human being. So up to 40 days, now Pashit, what does it mean 40 days from? Pashit, it means 40 days from conception. We'll talk about it in a minute. But when she miscarries, even if she knows she miscarried, even if she has no dam, nevertheless, she's chesheshes mishum nida. Why? So the Ramah says the reason, and this is something that is very lahalach. The Ramah is explaining the Mechaber. He's not arguing with the Mechaber. He explains, the word kever is a reference to the rechem, Chazal's expression. The womb can't open without giving out blood. She needs a nikiyim, but she doesn't need 14 days because it's not a vlad. But we have this new rule that ain't psichas hakever. Now what that means is this. The uterus, the mouth of the uterus is called the cervix. The cervix is the pi hamakar. The cervix is always slightly open, which is important, because the zera couldn't go in if it wasn't open. But typically when a woman ovulates, it's open a little more. Obviously when she gives birth, the miracle of birth is that opens large enough for a child to come out. But the halacha that we're learning here in the Ramah is that if something forces the piyamakar, the cervix, open, there's an assumption that there's dam. And it's the machlekes in the Gemara. If yesh psichas hakever b'lo dam, there are some rishayim who don't paskin like this. Nevertheless, the Mechaber Ramah hold of this rule that ain psichas hamikar b'loy dam, that if the womb opens, there's assumed to be dam. Now this is important because doctors in the doctor's office sometimes do procedures, or in the hospital do procedures where they insert tubes or other tools into the cervix in order to do whatever type of testing is done. Very often testing is done for the Evare Hanikeva by shooting dye up through the uterus into these areas of a woman. And it would seem at first glance that if a tube is forced into the opening of the cervix, that would make a woman a nida. So let's learn Pischei Tshuva Dalet, and we'll talk about how it applies l'mais. Excuse me? Okay, if you want, I would like to talk about that afterwards. Okay, the question of abortion within 40 days, I'd like to get to it.
Let's learn. 5 years before that, or you start right away?
Well, you need 5 unless she's already a nida from a few days before. So it depends. Sometimes a woman starts staining before childbirth. Pischei Tshuva Dalet. That's the first thing. Here we're talking that it gets forced open from the inside through a miscarriage. But he says there's no difference if a doctor forces it open from the outside. Even if she's a masulekas damim, she's an older woman, or a younger child, or a pregnant woman, she becomes a nida. A woman who hasn't seen dam in 15 years, and has uterine bleeding, is a nida. If she has bleeding from the uterus, she's a nida. The difference is that as a kena, somebody who stopped bleeding, and has blood, finds a stain on white garments, is allowed to be taila. We assume if we have another reason that the blood may have come, we can be taila in other things. But if we have no reason to be taila, then the halachas nida are the same for everybody. Uterine bleeding is tameh whether it's part of a hormonal cycle or not. So this is the dinai d'bihuda, which everyone agrees with, that it doesn't matter if it's forced open from the inside or the outside, she's a nida. Now, in interesting brackets, some sefer writes the same words in a tshuva. I am a sefer bin asad with the cost of a lab. Mashakasim gagon sharoif hichnis etzboi. That the doctor inserted his finger to do some type of internal. Agav shitfei kasim came v'loidok. He just wrote it as his pen was flowing, but it's not so. Harry ikka bedika bevsiktara. How does a woman do a bedika? Tachnis etzba ba'aymik. And we assume when a woman does a bedika, she doesn't open the makar. He brings a tshuva subsiding. I'm sure subsiding because I test because the heinisha abaydekas atzum b'churim v'stakim heinam yaleh d'shabatka la'olam la'yigu psichas hamakar hakever shu hamakar ela b'veis achitzai shufayne yichay l'chaisis polav nimatche tifta p'teva. So he says here in brackets is that an internal with a finger does not open the makar, and the Yehuda Agav Shitfei wrote that lashon. In fact, it's certainly so that normally a finger doesn't open the makar, but there are women who have a condition. Sometimes the uterus itself descends, a woman gets older, and there are times where in pregnancy the uterus stretches down, and it is possible to have a bedika b'etzba. Nevertheless, he says that stoma, we don't assume an internal examination with a finger opens the makar, but it's possible. What Nebuchadnezzar says is possible. It's possible to be the stoma. Some sefers say that you don't assume it. That's also true. But if it would be opened, it would be open. Now we're not done. I am a tshuvas tshuva mi'ahava. Chelak avchav tezayim b'tshuvas agoyim b'alnei de b'yehuda. The author of the Tshuva Mahava was a Talmud of Noida Yehuda, and he prints a letter he got from his Rebbe. Shekasa. This is the Masha Omru. Ein psechem v'leidam. Haydu im hakever niftach v'yotze mimenu dova gush k'may v'lad eichaticha. Means the kever was open and something passed through it, whether a child or a piece of flesh. Kol she'enei dakash efefer is dak shokash. If it's not as thin as a thin pipe of straw, or she yolda ruach, or she didn't give birth to just the hair, av k'sholo yotze dova, or she yovet yotze dova dak ma'oid, oi mashka, lo yamin v'zeg v'lo yidam, dem lo yamin v'zeg mishkas klal dam toyer, hakaponim tiftach hakever. Every time a woman bleeds dam toyer, why don't you say, psich zeg kever v'lo yidam? So he says there's a shear to that psichas piyamakar. There's a shear, which means that even if a doctor inserts a tube in through the cervix, the problem of emsich spia keva b'lei dam is an issue only if it's open more than the shear. How much is the shear? It's very unclear here. Rav Moshe in the Gris Moshe, I think it's Yeridei Aleph Siman Pei Tes, writes it has to be thicker than an etzba kohen, thicker than a pinky. It's also hard to give a number to exactly. If I'm not mistaken, Rav Moshe writes in a different tshuva, which I was not able to find, that the shear is 7/10 of an inch. I don't know if it's ad v'ad b'chlal or ad v'loy ad b'chlal, but I believe he gives a shear of 7/10 of an inch. That if what is inserted is less than 7/10 of an inch, the rule of ein psichas kever b'lei dam does not apply. Now our experience is that in an office test or examination, it's never more than 7/10 of an inch. Whatever is inserted is not open 7/10 of an inch. Certainly a pap smear or the like doesn't open the piyamakar that amount. And therefore, in typical normal cases, despite the fact that we have this klal, that if the makar was forced open, she's tamei, we ask the doctor for the diameter of the tube, or the diameter of the utensil that's inserted, and typically it's not 7/10 of an inch, and therefore typically there is no issue. Now Rav really has to stay in touch with doctors. I have at home one of the gynecologists here in Flatbush. I sat down with him, and eventually he gave me a typed up list of typical procedures and what exactly takes place, which I have at home. These things change, though. They change very frequently. Recently, someone put out a beautifully designed pamphlet for Rabbanim with the psakim based on Rav Belsky's psakim of different gynecological procedures, which... and the status. And I think Hakol Moedim, that a typical office visit, the procedures take place in the office, don't involve psichas piyamakar. A woman, after such a thing, should wear colored underwear, because often there's a kesem. The cervix is typically tender, and it bleeds easily. Cervical dam is not damnida, but if you're going to have a stain, you're going to have to be machmir if you don't know there's an injury. All right, so this is, as I say, agav, the rule of emsichas keva b'leidah.
If she has a
chazaka,
right? But she's tall. I mean, she's not seeing
down.
So if she...
If she has a stain. Oh, you mean
psichas
yamakar? Yeah. Exactly. Yamakar is still tame. That's what it says here in Noda Yehuda.
She doesn't have, she hasn't seen
down. Doesn't matter. We have a Kabbalah that if the makar is forced open, that itself causes bleeding. It's not hormonal cycle bleeding. So she doesn't have a hormonal cycle. But the trauma of forcing open the makar could cause bleeding. What?
We have already cause for it, so we can attribute it to the examination.
If you have a cause. A cause means you know there's a makar.
Why not a makar? The examination.
Right. So it depends. There are certain examinations which are known to cause bleeding,
right,
and certain which are not known to cause bleeding. Ramesha writes in the tshuva, and no doctor wants to say he's causing bleeding. So if a doctor says it's going to cause bleeding, he has an emunus. So if he tells you before it will cause bleeding from the cervix, if it's bleeding from the uterus,
we'll say it may cause bleeding. So if he says it may cause bleeding, then we haven't said enough.
You should find out what the truth is. I have on my cell phone the cell numbers of two gynecologists in Flatbush. When people ask me shilas, I call them. You have to find out the mitzvahs. And these things tend to change from
a
period.
It doesn't make a difference what he says.
If there's a psicha spiha bekever more than 0.7 inches, it doesn't matter what he says. Even if you don't see the dam, there's dam. If it's less than that, so there's no assumption there's dam. And if there is blood, you have to find out if there's a maka on the outside. The removal of an IUD is mentioned in Pesach. The IUD is an intrauterine device, which is made, it's a method of birth control, of contraceptive. Yeah, there are four basic methods of birth control, excluding abstinence, which is the oldest method. But there are four basic methods of birth control. Is the pill, which has no halachic issues. A woman, if she wants to take the pill, whatever happens, happens. It's not a halachic issue. There's a diaphragm, which is a physical blockage, which Ramesha holds is only mutter b'makam sakana. To use a diaphragm, there's sakana to the ibor. There are spermicides. Spermicides are mutter. They don't physically block the zera, but they kill the sperm. Spermicides are inserts. There used to be foam that was injected. Today they have vaginal inserts that kill the sperm. That is less of an issue halachically. It's mutter b'makam tzairach. However, it's not 100% effective. The spermicides come with the package, comes with the insert, which claims 80 to 85% effective over a year to prevent pregnancy in a normal woman. My experience is that it's much more than 85% effective if it's used properly. If it's used properly. I've, over the years, had people who became pregnant on spermicides, and when I questioned them, they agreed that, they didn't know that. They didn't read, you know, it says Tasha should be within this many to this many minutes. Because it bothered me if I recommend to people spermicides and people tell me they used it and they became pregnant. So it's disturbing. But then, they didn't read it. They didn't read the instructions. You know, what are you going to do? You need a certain amount of time before Tashmish to give the spermicide time to dissolve. And it's only effective for a certain period of time. But anyway, spermicides are not 100% effective. The fourth method is the IUD. The IUD is 100% effective. There are two types of IUD. The old-fashioned IUD is a piece of plastic which has typically wire around it, wrapped around it, and it's inserted in the doctor's office through the cervix, is pushed up into the uterus. It has a string hanging out in the woman's body, so the doctor can pull it out whenever it's called for. And for whatever reason, this prevents pregnancy. There was always a machlokes among the doctors as to why inserting an object into the uterus prevents pregnancy. It seems that everyone agrees that the sperm will still fertilize the ovum, but that it won't attach itself to the walls of the uterus because of whatever trauma there is, because there's something in the uterus that's rubbing against the walls of the uterus. Today, they have the different brand names, a different type of IUD, which releases a hormone. I think it's called the Ovaring, is one of the popular brands. And it releases a hormone, just like a pill is a hormone. It's inserted into the uterus, and it releases the same hormone, but those who are concerned for the health risks of taking this type of medication prefer this. It's also inserted into the uterus, although what takes place is a little more complicated, has to be changed more often. Be that as it may, the IUD is mutter lechatchila in halacha. Rav Schwab, I know, used to tell people on birth control that's his first choice. The downside, everything has a downside. The downside of the IUD is that many women bleed as a result of the IUD. To me, it seems about 50% of the women. Everyone bleeds when it's first put in, but there are women who can constantly bleed, not a flow, but they have spotting for a long period, and it's very frustrating, and eventually it's taken out. Removing the IUD is a psichas pi amakar. According to Dr. Abraham, it's more than the shear of psichas piyamakar, and therefore removing the IUD makes a woman anita even if she does not bleed. Now naturally you can schedule the removing of the IUD, and you schedule it right before Hafsikara, and a day before or something, so that it doesn't affect so that there's no halachic consequence from removing it. But al kapanim, this is din of psichas piyamakar. It comes in Derech Agav, in a simen which Ruba de Ruba is not so nagel adina. I want to comment on one more topic of this sif and then move on to the main theme. The idea of mapelas b'teich mem, of a child less than 40 days old not having a din of a child, this has consequences in various areas of halacha. Certainly pinyan aben, if a woman is pregnant and miscarries within 40 days, it does not affect the pinyan aben status of the next child. Many paiskim hold that until rikim evarim, which is much later, it still doesn't have a din of psichas piyakevui. If a pregnancy lasts less than 40 days, then everyone, it doesn't affect pinyan aben. More than 40 days, until rikum evarim, until the child starts to form limbs, it falls into a suffi category, we do pinyan aben without a bracha. So, I'm not sure exactly what the time frame is, but we'll get to hilchos pinyan aben, but a lot of people are very self-conscious, because they'll do a pinyan aben, not make a bracha, everyone's going to ask why. It's not a crime to have a miscarriage, but I don't know, people are very self-conscious. I tell people, buy a new suit so you can make the Shechiyanu. Pinyan Aben, just mumble the first few words, don't say Hashem's name. I say, Baruch Melech Ha'ilam, Hashem says, Tzivanu, Pinyan Aben. And no one will notice. And people are very self-conscious. We do this often. Sometimes there's a child who's born slightly Noilid Mohol. This type of situation, hypospadias, or other conditions where you don't make a bracha on the brismila because the arla is partially removed. You need a brismila, you have to remove onto there. So I have the same thing. People say, why don't you do it to bris? You know, I'm not going to make a bracha if you're going to ask me. And that's something you really don't want to tell people. So I tell them, just mumble the words and say, Shekinah Shema says, Yavanu, out loud, Lachnis Mishal Marvino, out loud. And nobody's going to notice. And that's the way it is. Nobody notices. The father usually mumbles it anyway. What? Yeah, by us they don't use a microphone. No. So,
you're talking about somebody who's abstained because otherwise you would go for it.
Oh, very good. Look at the bare head. Okay. I flew to California last week. So, you know, there's a machlekes if you fly. If you do Berachas Hagayim, the minhag ha'olam is if you don't go over the ocean, you don't say Berachas Hagayim. Or Moshe held to say. So I say, but I say without Shema Malchus. So I flew there Tuesday, came back Wednesday. And Thursday I got my aliyah. I said, Baruch Hagayim Malchus, you noticed? You noticed what I said, Shema Malchus? Did you?
People
noticed, right? She gave me a bracha. He said, Shema Malchus, you noticed?
People said something to me.
Oh, yes? All right, the last topic, Derech Agav. What? No, I wait till my return. If the return is within 30 days, even there it's Israel, I wait till I come back. The question of abortion on a child that's less than 40 days after conception is a very touchy topic. It's certainly an isra of bittul zera, so certainly not muta for no reason. There's a gemara which calls the child in less than 40 days, ma'ya ba'alma. Gemara is an expression, the child is ma'ya ba'alma. There's one gadol in Eretz Yisrael, one paisik in Eretz Yisrael, who holds that within 40 days you're allowed to abort a fetus if the diagnosis shows that the child will be a Down syndrome child or an autistic child, he held you allowed into it. In the United States, there is no test, there's no amniocentesis for a child within 40 days of conception. Typically, today, amniocentesis takes place, which means they draw some... some DNA. It's not blood. They draw a little bit of the flesh of the fetus, and they test for all of the developmental disorders. They test the Down syndrome, autistic children, etc. And there are many other types, le'aleinu, of developmental disorders which can be caught in the DNA. Now there are some which show that the child can't be carried to term. Certain conditions where the child just won't live to term, that's different. There, the child has no potential to live. The child has potential to live, so in the Gaisha world, the child is aborted. It's just a regular procedure. You do amniocentesis. If it's a Down syndrome child, the child is aborted. Today, the Orthodox Jewish world has the bulk, percentage-wise, of Down syndrome and autistic children. Because out in the world, these children are aborted before they're born. By us, after 40 days, almost no place calls that you're allowed to destroy a fetus at that stage. Within 40 days, there is a debate. In Eretz Yisrael, they do have a test to test within 40 days for this type of a procedure. I think even within 40 days, most places can hold not to do it. But, you know, if God forbid happens to somebody, I tell them, ask somebody else, leave me out of it, because, you know, I don't want to be blamed later. You know, I'll tell someone to be machmir, and they'll say, you know, I have to suffer with this. The test is not foolproof. I've had numerous cases with young couples, yeshiva boys, numerous cases where the test showed a problem, and the child is normal. And there are people that you know, people who've had and gone nuts. I had somebody in yeshiva call me. I was in camp. It was during the summer that the test showed that the first pregnancy, is an autistic child. Yes, he wants to do. I tell him nothing to do. It's after 40 days. If you decide to give away the child, give away the child. I said, well, I can't give away the child. Yeah, you can kill the child. You know, like it's, you know, it's somehow, and the child is perfectly normal. The child is approaching bar mitzvah age. And it happens to do it. Now, that doesn't mean it's usually wrong. And I'm not saying it's usually wrong. I'm saying it's often not correct. That doesn't change the halach. I want to move on because I said I want to finish the siman. Tzitzil Yezer is the Meikel. Ramesh said about him that Huasid Litenes Hadin, which is not Ramesh's usual lashon, that he's a Das Yachid, and the problem is the doctors send everyone to him. The doctors prefer the medical way, medical solution. And they send. And here in America, they also send, the doctors say, go ask this and this Rav. Why don't they say, go ask your Rav? Because they know that this and this Rav is a Makel in this topic, and a person should ask his Rav. If his Rav is someone who's Makel, so let him be Makel. If not, not. But, okay. And let's get back to the topic of the seven. All right, there's another topic here in the Ber Hetev. I'll tell it to you briefly because it's not Alcha L'Maisa, but it says Mem Yoim, 40 days. The Ber Hetev brings from Avodah Zarah Shuni that it means 40 days from your last mikveh night. Now that's a chumrah. It means 40 days from your mikveh night, not 40 days from conception. It means the Vlad has it didn't Vlad 40 days after Leil Tefillah. This is based on Rashi. The Mishnah says Mem Yoim. Rashi says Meleil Tefillasa. It's hard to escape that it's a Rashi. Everybody is Matmiya on this Avodah Zarah Shuni, the Chavos Das, the Sidrei Torah. You have very strong that it can't be. In the time of Chazal, women saw Dam for the first 3 months of pregnancy. They were not Mesulek as Dam. The nature was that the first 3 months of pregnancy, women bled. They were not considered misulekas dam until after 3 months. So how could the Avodah Zarah Shuni say, 40 days from your last tefillah, the vlad is not a vlad. Maybe she's pregnant from the prior tefillah. Ay, Rashi. So some Sefer Tshuva, who's also Matmiya, says that Rashi's going to Seder HaMishnayis. Now that Mishnah, it's not so clear. But in prior Mishnayis, it talks about a woman who's Mapil, and Mapil again, and Mapil again. It has all these type of mathematical cases where a woman is Mapil of Vlad, 41 days later is Mapil another Vlad, now you got to do the math. Could be using the Keva, could be using the Zacha, could be the second one, the Keva, the Zacha. So it has all these types of things. So some Sefer says, Kach Derech, HaMishnayis, Fabrisis, that they talk about a woman who Melel Tfilosa, she knows she wasn't pregnant before it. It's a Tfilah from a miscarriage. So she had a miscarriage. She went to the mikveh. So she knows she wasn't pregnant prior to that mikveh night. So now, moving forward, she knows from Leil Tfilosa, conception, could that have been earlier than Leil Tfilosa? So Mem Yayim, Melel Tfilosa, because she doesn't know when conception took place. So that, this is the tumult which the Ber Hetiv here in Eis Dalet brings, and the Pesachei Teshuva Gimel. I would say, a technical question, which so is not so negative to us. In our day, Rav Moshe has his chiddush that when a woman is murzik to be pregnant because of a test, that she has all the coolness of a pregnant woman. In the time of Chazal, the first 3 months of pregnancy, you still had to be chayshish for your vest. If a woman saw on chaf l'chaydish, she had to be chayshish for the first 3 months of pregnancy. Ramesh writes, nishtana hateva l'kula. It's a question whether you say nishtana hateva, even l'kula. Ramesh says, that you do say nishtana hateva l'kula. And the teva today is once you're pregnant, you don't have a cycle. And once a woman takes a urine test or a blood test, and knows that she's pregnant, she no longer is chayshish for her vest. Okay, let's see Siv Kimmel. Nature changed. Women, Rabbi Yaakov used to say, people complain, Nishtana HaTeva, is it so? So Rabbi Yaakov used to say, in my lifetime, it was Nishtana HaTeva. He talked about these things. The women's cycles, from when he was born, till 90 years later, it's quite a bit of time, Rabbi Yaakov. He said, in my lifetime, it was Nishtana HaTeva. He said that when he got married, the women were all kavuim. The whole cycle, the monocycle, was different than it is today. So Rabbi Yaakov was born in the 1890s, and 1892 or so. So he probably got married in like 1910, or you know, I don't know how old they were when they got birth. You know, talking about before World War I. He said the nature of the cycle changed. I don't know if Yaakov said it. Tosis says Nishtana HaTeva. Okay, the problem is. If she sees blood when she's pregnant, she has to be chayshish for it. Yeah, there's something called implantation bleeding. Some women, when the egg, the fertilized egg, attaches itself to the uterus, experience some bleeding. Some do, some don't. Siv Bey, Siv Gimel. What? We got to be what? The other was us. That's my understanding. Yeah, not allowed to kill a baby because there's something wrong with him. If the baby can't be born, there are times where a person discovers in pregnancy that the child is so malformed that he can't live, not possible to be born alive. So then they do a DNC. A living child, you can't abort.
I'm saying there's something wrong with the child.
Yeah, there's something wrong. You can't abort a child. Siv Gimel, Hamapelas kimin behema chayev aif, I kimin dagim chavgavim shkatzim v'ramasim. V'chol tzura savlad. Somebody was mapil, something that looks like a behema chayev aif. It looks like some other creature. I shvir oishilia.
What's tzura savlad? What does it mean by tzura savlad?
Any form that looks like a creature, as opposed to someone who's mapil, just a clump of blood or a clump of flesh. Sometimes a tzura of a child. A shvir, a shilya. Now, the shvir is the early form uber. The shilya is the sack. So if a woman experiences that a sack comes out, oy chaticha shekarua v'yesh ba etzem, or just a piece of flesh, but it has a bone in it, Today we don't test the tzuras, the cheshes of lad. And if a zayin nikim end within 14 days, im tavla kaidim el tesvav loy also lot tefila. Again, the whole nafkamina is the 14 days, but for the kever. So here you have to be chayshesh that the vlad may be in the kever. And even though the Mishnah says mapelas kamin beheva chayiv oif is tar, but we hold that we're not pekiyim betzurais. We hold ain't shulya b'lay vlad. Familiar expression in yeshiva world. In the olden days, you used to learn it. Bava kamed af yud aleph. Today, you don't get to bava kamed af yud aleph. Usually, the iyun seder starts on daf beis, pekiya starts on daf hey, and either seder gets to daf yud aleph. But it's a sugya daf yud aleph. They mix a shulya b'lay vlad. A mixed shulya b'lay vlad even. But if shulya comes out, you assume that there was a child, and therefore a woman is tamei. What's excluded is a clump of blood or a clump of flesh that has, if there's no shilya, no shvir, that means no form that looks like a child, like an early stage child, and no etzem, no bone, then that's nothing. Then that's just a normal ejection of the body that has no din vlad, there's no 14 days. If it's an early stage vlad, then we're chayshish that it's in the keva. I should mention that our minig is to bury a miscarried child. It's a Hilchos Chalamayin of all places where it talks about burying a Chalamayin. We bury. The Chalukei Deis as to whether it's a Etzem Hadin that it needs Kavura, or if it's because it's Metame, it's because of Kayanim. Now, if Kamina is, if you're allowed to give it to the hospital for medical experimentation, there's a nafkamina. Our minig is to bury. I have to tell you, and I must have mentioned it earlier, because it bothers me, that the Chevra Kadishas take advantage. They charge large amount of money for burying. It's hard to, I don't like to say it, but burying basically something that's, you imagine you have a Frankfurter that has to be buried al Pidin. If someone charges you $1,000 to bury the Frankfurter, he's a ganef, no? A thief. So they have this piece of flesh which they charge you upwards of $1,000 to bury. There's no techrichim, there's no tahara. If it's formed as a vlad, they do remove the arla. And the minhag is to give a name before kvura. But the fact that they charge for it is wrong. They don't use up land for it, because the minhag is to bury it in a beis hakfaris under the walkways or under the fence. They dig from the side under the walkway and they bury it there. And it shouldn't be that way. There's no marking bedavka, because you're not supposed to be misabel. A person not supposed to be misabel on a miscarriage.
Won't the hospital bury you?
The hospital will allow. There are different hospitals. I've had the experience. Some hospitals allow the parents to take it.
No, I'm saying, but the hospital will arrange with the city.
To bury it? No, hospitals don't bury it. They throw it out with their. They throw it out with the hazardous material. You're talking maybe about a fully formed child and not an early. Okay. Anyway, this is the din. Now here there's a kasha. You should all be jumping up and down and asking. What's a kasha? Same kasha from here to Siftas. Why do we chayshis it in the cave? It should be a svek sveka. One suffik if it's a vlad. The din of the Mishnah is a bei mechayov is not a vlad. And another suffik, even if it's a vlad, maybe it's a zachar. A zachar, the no chumris, you need 7 days al tam nida anyway. So it should be a svek sveka. So let's learn the next 5 sifim, and then we'll deal with the question. Sivdalet, yold of vlad chai, someone gives birth, a normal birth, vachach yipila shilya, and subsequently the afterbirth came out, in a chasheshes levad acher, she doesn't have to be chayshish, maybe in the afterbirth there was another child that died, even if the afterbirth comes out up to 23 days later. Aval im epila nefel tchila, if she gave birth to a nefel, to a stillborn child, ain't tailem by ashilya shapila achakach, chasheshes l'shilya lita l'yamei tumish on the keva. It's a suffix if there's a vlad in the shilya, and therefore you have to be chayshish that there's a vlad in the shilya, which means Again, it's a suffix. You have to be machmir 14 days. Again, why? Maybe there's a vlad in the shilui, maybe there's not. And even if there is, maybe it's a zachar. Same problem with sifhei. Let me go to the siftah. Sifhei. Yotzeh hashilya tchila. Now today, if the afterbirth comes out, the doctor's rush into a cesarean. It's a very big sakana for the sac to come first. There's an assumption the child is still in the sac. And for a child to come out in the sac is a sakana gedayla for the vlad and the mother. And if that were to happen, they would rush to do a cesarean. But anyway, Shulchan Aruch talks about yotzeh hashilya tchila, ein toilet oisa bavlad shekel chachakach. If the shilya comes first and a vlad second, afilu hi ben kayama, chesesh l'shilya litin lo yimei tovishol dekeva. We assume when the shilya came out, that shilya had a child in it, because it's not normal for a shilya to come before the vlad. So even though it's a miut, women should have twins, should be pregnant with twins. But when the shilya comes out first, it's more shkiach that there's a vlad in the shilya, and that's why it came out first. Then to say that the body ejected the shilya and then its child. That's sifhei. And again, we have the same kasha. If you know, you know. If you know for certain, you know for certain. I'll talk about that. It's good. 1 second. Yotza miksa shilya b'yomishin. If part of the shilya came out on day one and the rest of it came out on day two, she has to be machmir from the first day. That's a mixas shilya b'lay vlad. That enough of the vlad came out on day one, but l'kula she doesn't count from day one. L'chumra she counts from day one. But the other way, she's 14 days from the second day. This is the Gemara of Avakamadaf Yud Aleph. That even though a part of the shilya comes out with machmir, again, it's only a suffix. Part of the shilya came out. Did Rav of the child come out with that? It's a suffix. It should be a sex faker. Maybe part of the maybe only a meat of the child came out. Even if Rav of the child came out, maybe it's a zachar. Next, if Zion, Hamapelis the Musbeh Machayiva Oif for shilya kshuraba. Someone's mapil, the Musbeh Machayiva Oif with a shilya attached to it. Enech Hesheshes Levad Acher. When Achayshish is a different vlad, we assume since the shilya is attached to it, so when Achayshish for a different vlad, we made a kshura by Chesheshul vlad acher. Apish avlad hanidma zachar chashinolei may tumish on the keva b'shul hashilya. Even though what came out looks like a zachar, we machmir that there was another vlad that was in a cave, and again it's a suffix. Now the shock points out this sif is not enough gemina today. Time in the Gemara, the Mus Behemo was tar. So the Gemara says, if the Mus Behemo, which is tar, comes out, now it's an afkamina. Do you say the Shilya is from a vlad, and she has dinya ledes, or not? So Shach Zion says, L'didon, she'enonu b'kiyim, we're not b'kiyim, and what's called the Mus Behemo, lo'aylam nesla yimei tovish on the kebuk, l'el sif kimo.
What does it mean,
the
Mus Behemo? It means the
fetus looks like an animal. It looks like a cow, it looks like a cat, it looks like a different creature. Don't say things don't happen unless you know. I don't know if they happen. I remember once I was with Ramosha, he was giving shiur, and he read a list of things that had to do with a bris mila. So it was a list, it was tumtum, adragonis, mishashashnei, arlais, mishashashnei, evarim. It was a list of strange things. And when he got to Mishiyesh L'Shnei Evarim, he said, this one doesn't happen, Bizman Hazeh. So I remember thinking to myself, you mean all the other ones do? So it sounded like a Ramesh. So Tum Tum Adragina, since then, I found out, unfortunately, it do happen. It does happen. So Layalayma. So anyway, if it happens today, people give birth, people give birth to people who grow up to be behemoths, but they don't look like behemoths, So... next one, Hayeladis Tumtum Adragonis. Again, it should be a Svek Sveka. Gives birth to a Safi Gisacha Safi Nikeva. You give it, you may Tumishal Nikeva. Why don't you say Svek? Well, here actually it's only one Safi. Safi Gisacha Safi Nikeva. Here it's not a Kasha Svek Sveka. Siftes, Hergilsha Shehi Pilav Ene Dasma. She went to the bathroom. She felt she passed something. She doesn't know what. Is that Tameya Leida, cheshesh shem de keva hayis. Again, it's sex psycho. She feels she passed some object in a bathroom today, in our toilet, you can tell. Maybe she's in an airplane toilet or someplace where she can't tell, the old flesh, where you can't go after it. So it should be again a svek sveika. So we have a kasha from Sif Gimel through that test, with the exception of Sif Ches, and all these things should be a svek sveika. So here, I'd like to teach you a taisvis, and an important yisai. Taisvis in Bava Kama Yud Aleph is the kasha. Taisvis Ramasal Deka Mitaris. Yes, the kasha, in the case where part of the shilya came out on day one, baby came out on day two, and we're chayshish, even though we can't tell the blood is a nafel, we can't tell if it's a zach and a keva, we're machmir. So taste is the kasha straight. Amaylo yutahirin, dilma b'yem rishin yatsa raisha v'rubai, efil lo yatsa dilma u'zachar. So taste is, he has an important side. When I explain this aside, I like to give an example which everyone will understand and get to Taisvus. The example everyone understands is Aran in Avrei Pesachim. Whenever I talk about this, this is just a perfect example. By the Seder, we drink Dalet Kaisis. The Gemara, we all know you need a Seba for all four Kaisis. But if you learn Avrei Pesachim, the Gemara says you only need a Seba by two Kaisis. Gemara's two Lashayvis. Some say the first two Kaisis need a Seba. Some say the last two Kaisis need a Seba. The Ran says, therefore, we do a Seba by all four. Freik the Ran, why don't we say Safa Drabanan Lakula? The whole Arba Kaisis is a Drabanan. A Seba is certainly a Drabanan. Why don't we say Safa Drabanan Lakula? Why do we have to do a Seba by all four Kaisis? And with the Ran, if you can say Safa Drabanan Lakula, it'll be a Stira. You say on the first two kaisis, Savdar Bala Kula, I don't need a Seba. See on the last two kaisis, Savdar Bala Kula, I don't need a Seba. You'll end up not doing a Seba at all. You're certainly doing something wrong. That's the Savdar Bala Kula, the Sasri Ahadadi. It's a Stira. You can't just pick one. They're identical ideas. And this is the aside that by Savdar Bala Kula, we don't say Zavala Kula when it's Sasri Adadi, when the two are Astira. A similar thing, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva harvested fruit between Rosh Chodesh Shvat and Tu B'Shvat. He wasn't sure if Beis Hillel holds that Rosh Chodesh Shvat or Tu B'Shvat is the Rosh Hashanah Leilanis. So he gave Trumas HaMaisris, Trumas HaSei, but he gave Maiser like the previous year, Maisa Shaini, like the next year, Maisa Ani. Truma on fruits is only a Drabana. Why do they say Sav Drabana Lakula? Same thing. See, a Drabana Lakula, you don't have to give Maisa Shaini. Maybe it's the next year. You don't have to give Maisa Ani. Maybe it's the previous year. When it's Sasri Ahadadi, we don't say it. Taisus says the same thing is true by Svek Sveika. If you have a Svek Sveika, the Sasri Ahadadi, you don't say Svek Sveika. How does that apply here? This is very geschmack. A woman was mapil. She wants to say, I want to go to the mikveh after 7 days. Svek Sveika. Maybe it wasn't a Vlad. And even if it was a Vlad, maybe it was a Zachar. So what's the kula? That it should be a Zachar is a kula. Svek Sveika, she wants to go to the mikveh. Now, what's going to happen on day 41? On day 41, she'll bleed. She could say this blood should be dam tayar. Why?
There was no blood.
No, but there's no blood. It's dam tuma. I'm missing it. She wants it to the cave, but how do you have a sex cycle? Let's entice inside. Have a tray kuli disasri adadi. Im tira yoyim aleph. Tishrinami misvek sveka. Shema lo yatsa rubai v'yam rishin. Okay, that's going on his case. I'm saying it applies to all the cases. We have to see if that's true. He says, where it's a suffix if the vla was born on day one or day two. So for nida, she wants to say it was born on day one. She got a mikveh earlier. For mem aleph, okay, she wants to say it was born
day two.
On day two. And she has more yemeitayah, so that if it's a zachar, it's within the 40 days. The kevah is yemeim aleph. Afilu yatzarayv dilma the kevahu. Hasha b'chili tarnu b'shem d'shem ha-zachar. Hasha timenu b'shem shem ha-kehiva. So Taisa says, you can't say sex sasri adadi. As I'm saying this, this makes sense in the case Taisa is talking about. I'm making a mistake. In our case, where it's a suffix vlad, suffix behema, so let's think it through. You have a svek svek 7 days after birth. You want to say maybe it's not a vlad, maybe it's a zachar. Good. And yem mem aleph, she wants to be tar, because maybe it's a nekeva. What's the second suffix? Because she has no svek svek on yem mem aleph. I'm a little stuck to answer the other. I told you I was going to answer all the sifim. And I'm sitting here, I don't realize how it's going to answer all the sifim. The Aruch HaShulchan, anyway, the Yisayit is a nice Yisayit, and the answer is Taisa's cash. The Aruch HaShulchan in Sifkat Nun Aleph says, not everyone agrees with this Taisus. He doesn't quote by name, but it's a Marshal who says, you can't do a Svek Sveka that Saiser itself Lakula, but if you go to Chumra, it's also Saiser itself. So he asks, essentially on the Ran, that what do you say? You can't sell Doron Lakula. Because it's a stira, but if you're going to be machber on all four kais, it's also a stira. So why are you happy doing a stira lechomer and not a stira lekula? Interesting, coming from the Marshal, who's one of the biggest machmirim in the Paiskim. Darach HaShulchan writes, after he brings Taisvis, he says, Yesh mekayim v'shalai yala tirin zeh. So some cases, this teres doesn't work. Omna, b'divi ha-Paiskim nira. Now listen to this. Shalai holchu b'dinam elu achar svek sveka. And this simin, they didn't follow Svek Sveka. Mibnei, Shehema medvarim hamesurim lenashim ulaame yaretz. V'la yadu ledagdeik besvek sveka. V'yavayu letaras hatmeya. He says that here chazal v'machmar on svekis, they didn't want ordinary people who didn't learn to start donning Svek Svekas. People create Svek Svekas that are nishka shvek, nishka flaygan. So therefore, they didn't want to be makel with Svek Svekas. So that's the Aruch HaShulchan's Teres, the name of the Sidra Tara. That's what he says. Now, one last thing. Shaul asked, there's a rule of Svek Sveka has to be mishapech. Has to go both ways. Shaul's asking, it's not a good Svek Sveka. Maybe it's a Vlad, maybe it's not. Even if it's a Vlad, maybe it's in the Keva. If you go the other way, maybe it's a Zachar, maybe it's in the Keva. Even if it's a Zachar, maybe it's not a Vlad. Make sense? So there's an important rule in Svek Svekas. It's known as the Taz's rule, even though the Shach agrees with him in Hilchos Svek Svekas. It's very important. In Hilchos Treifus, you have the following Svek Svekas. A suffix if a lion came into the barn. The animals were making screaming in the barn. The farmer runs. He doesn't see a lion there. But he knows. That's the way they scream when lions come in. So it's a Svek Sveka. Maybe a lion came in, maybe it didn't come in. Even if it came in, maybe it was Dairis. Dairis means a clawed. Maybe it clawed an animal. And lion clawing an animal makes it a treif. So in Shulchan Aruch we have a suffix, Shema Allah, Shema Loyola. Maybe it went in, maybe it didn't. Even if it did go in, maybe it didn't claw an animal. Now that Svek Sveka is not mishapach. You can't say maybe it clawed an animal, maybe it didn't claw an animal. And even if it clawed an animal, maybe it didn't go in. Make sense? So why is it a good Svek Sveka? So the Taz says something very gishmak. Why does the Svek Sveka have to turn around? Why does it have to go both ways? Because Mechitesi, this is the right way. Maybe the other way is the right way, and there's no Svek Svek. He says when there's a logical sequence or a chronological sequence to the Svek Sveka, it doesn't have to be mishapach. Of course, first you down, did the lion go in? And then you down, what did it do when it went in? Logically, that's the way any person would be mistapek. The Svek Sveka, which has one suffix, is there a shayla? And then the shayla itself. Such a Svek Sveka does not have to be mishapach. So, when do you need mishapach? Taisa's case, where a woman's not a besula. You say, why is she not a besula? Maybe ba'inis, maybe baratzen. Maybe tachas ba'ila, maybe not tachas ba'ila. So it has to go both ways. It does go both ways. But it has to go both ways. But a Svek Sveka that has a chronological sequence, that you say Svek Sveka, here also. One suffix, did she miscarry or didn't she? You know, if she miscarried, was it a zach or was it a nekeva? So it doesn't have to be a Svek Sveka, a mishapach. Okay, so at any rate, I didn't quite keep my word to finish the simin, but next week, believe that for sure, we have five more sifim. Frelich Chanukah, next week, davening is only slightly longer, so we'll start 9 o'clock punctually, so those who want to daven 8 o'clock upstairs, I should be able to make it.